can get ready for some more good preaching after he gets through.
Well, I tell you what, it's a joy and an honor to be here tonight. I appreciate you allowing me to come to be part of this Jubilee this week. It certainly is a joy and an honor to be here. Let me get this turned on. And I was going to say, did I get it? Okay, did I get it? I got a built-in microphone, so I'm all right anyway, you know. But I tell you, it's good to see you, preacher, and I thank God for y'all allowing me to come and be part of what God's doing, and it's a blessing and an honor. And I'm gonna try to lay down a little bunt and get on base and let the man of God come knock us home, and I'm gonna get out of the way. But it is a blessing to be here tonight. How many glad you're saved tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's good to be saved by God's grace. And I just want to share with you, leave a little thought with you. How many ever heard that monkey joke? Anybody ever heard that? Okay, let me tell you. Said this police officer said he walked up to a car and he saw the car flipped upside down and said the wheels were still turning. Antifreeze all over the place and oil. And he looked inside the car, didn't see another car. As the husband was knocked out, the wife was knocked out, two kids in the back knocked out, and a monkey was sitting on top. And so the officer said, now, wait a minute, what in the world? I don't see none of the car. What happened here? So he said, I can't figure it out. He looked at the monkey and said, I know you don't know. He said, He said, yeah, right. He said, what was the man doing then? He said, He said, he was drinking. He said, what was the woman doing? He said, So she was fussing. He said, what were two kids in the back doing? He said, So they were fighting. He said, what in the world was you doing? He said, So the monkey driving the car. Bless God, you make sure you know who's driving your car. All right. Well, I know he didn't call me up here to tell jokes, but I'm going to go ahead and get in the word and get out of the way. But in let's look at Acts 16, and we're going to start reading at verse 25. Acts 16, 25. Man, I'll tell you what. Lord, have mercy. Acts 16, verse number 25. If you're able to stand with us, let me feel like I'm at the house for a little bit. Down when I'm at home, everybody stands and read them scriptures. And I know sometimes people wonder, preacher, where'd you get that from? Well, in Nehemiah, when the Bible said when the word of God was read, the people stood in honor of that book. But Acts 16, verse number 25. The Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundation of the prisons was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and every man's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for light and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out, said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved in thy house. And he sprang unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night, washed his stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway, and he brought them into his house. He set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his heart. Verse 25, this is my text. Notice the Bible said at midnight,
yes,
Paul and Silas prayed. And all the and the Bible said, and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them.
Hey.
I want to talk to you a little bit this night on this thought tonight, church. It's midnight, and what are we going to do about it? It's midnight, what are we going to do about it?
Hey.
Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness and your grace. I see such amazing God and a great Savior.
Yes.
There's absolutely nobody like you. You're altogether lovely. Thank you for saving us and changing our lives. I'm glad, God, we don't have to look to the White House. I'm glad we can look to your house. Lift our eyes to the hills, which come our help. As all of it come from you. I pray tonight, Spirit of God, anybody here don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, this will be the night they say goodbye to Satan and hello to Jesus. As I realize every day I live that you don't have to have me, but I sure gonna have you. We ask this in Jesus' name. His blood proclaim the victory. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Lord, I feel a breath from another world. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let me say this. I've often told this, but one of our men, Brother Matt, let me tell you, Brother Slim Bryce, brother, he's about 6'7". I beam pole straight up. And he's a man that'll shout at the drop of a hat. You can get my hat, he'll throw it down, then shout. That's the kind of man I'm talking about. But I took Brother Slim with me. I said, come go with me to Sam's. He said, preacher, I cannot go. I said, why? He said, because I don't have one of those cards. And my wife and my daughter-in-law told me, you can't get in unless you got one of those cards. I said, come on, Brother Slim, get. He said, I'll ride with you, sit in the parking lot. He said, but I can't get in, preacher. I got to Sam's. I didn't tell no different. I said, get out. He said, preacher, they're not going to let me in. I didn't tell no different. I got to the door, pulled my card out, and he walked on by, and we walked in, and I kept walking, and no Brother Slim. I turn around. There he is, tears running down his face. I said, what in the world wrong with you? He said, preacher, my wife and my daughter-in-law told me I'd never get in Sam's unless I got one of those cards. He said, here I stand right in the middle of Sam's and I still don't have a card. He said, I just hooked up with somebody that had a card and that's what got me in. And so I'm standing on heaven's sweet door, not because I got a card, but I hooked up with somebody that got a card. His name Jesus. He's still the way and the truth. But thank God, you can't get to the Father unless you come by Him. Somebody help me up in here. Whoa. Somebody asked me, so how in the world have you stayed so wound up all the time? Said, don't you ever feel bad? I said, look, I told the church the other night, this last night, preacher, I said, I don't shout and praise God because I don't feel good all the time. None of us feel good all the time. But I don't shout and praise God because I feel good. I shout and praise God because God's good. I said, I don't shout and praise God because I feel good. I shout and praise God because God's good. God's been good to anybody up in here outside of me. Say amen right there. I got to roll. I feel a breath. Take it easy, boy. Yes. Hey, you know, somebody, hey, so you don't know where I come from. I grew up in religion. I never had a relationship. But 37 years ago, sis, up to the night, 1978, a white gentleman walked up to me. And this is how he really looked, if you could see him in the supernatural. He walked up to me like this. And Danny Willis, 37 years ago, asked me a question that changed my life. He said, Steele, are you a Christian on my job? I said, Danny, I said, I believe I am. I joined the church. I've been baptized. I'm on the usher board. I give money to the church. I'm doing the best that I can. He said, if you died right now, are you 100% sure you're going to go to heaven? I said, Danny, I can't say that, but I sure don't want to go to hell. He said, Steele, if I could take this book right here, and show you how you can miss the fires of hell and walk on streets of gold. Would you believe Jesus? I said, Dad, I believe anything that God got to say. And Daddy took this book. I was up preaching. I was under conviction so deep. I took Matthew's robe. I took John's robe. I took anybody's robe. Just get me to Jesus. And Daddy took me what we call the Romans robe and gave me that word of God. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 5:12, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9 through 13. And when Daddy got down there to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God raised you from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But when he got down there, I fell down at the foot of Jesus. And boy, I'm going to tell you something. I seen my baptism go out the window. I seen my church membership go out the window. I saw my good deeds go out. And when I looked up, I'm by faith, I can see Jesus hanging on the bloody cross, dying for somebody like me. I tell you, I prayed, asked him to forgive me of my sins and come in my heart and save me and change my life. Oh, the same man that got down ain't the same. I got up, I got down lost. I got up saved. I got down a child of the devil. But I got up a child of God. Got down going to hell. Got up going to glory. You said, preacher, still, you must think your heart's tough. Oh, no. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody. I said, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody. Somebody put it this way. You see, God thought it. The Holy Ghost wrought it. Jesus bought it. I called it. Hey, I got to get this to you. Whoa. And you know what I like? Danny stood there as a white man, covered with the blood. And when he put that blood on me, yes, and covered me up with the blood, you couldn't tell what color I was either. When you get under the blood, they don't care what color you are. That's why when I come to the church, preacher, I went to an all-white congregation for my wife and I for 4.5 years. We was the only blacks in the place, except some more started coming once we got there. I didn't go there for color. I went there for the book. When I go to McDonald's and get me a fish sandwich, when I come, we leave here, you was going to get a fish sandwich. Hey, when I pull up to the drive-thru and go to the witnesses, I ain't looking up under that window trying to see what color the hands is that's fixing me a sandwich. I ain't worried about what color your hand. Give me something to eat. And when I come down to the house of God, I ain't worried about what color your hands are. Give me what that book said in Proverbs 16:11. Give me what that book said. And I don't know what heaven said. Somebody help me. Let me get this to you. I ain't gonna be long. Whew. Take it easy. Mm. Woo. Now, I ain't gonna be long. Let me tell you this. Oftentimes, we're gonna turn that Bible in a minute, but oftentimes, as I travel the nation, God afforded me the opportunity to preach the breath of this nation. And as I preach, I sit with preachers all the time. And I heard these statements. They're always talking about what God used to do and how God used to work and what God did back in the... It's almost, I'm not against that, but it's almost like God is a God of the past and not a God of right now. I don't know what kind of God you got, but my God said in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will never change. And whatever God did in the past, God can still do it right now. You know what's wrong with the church? I want to show you what's wrong with the church of the living God. Let me show you something. I ain't going to sing that. I'm going to show you something. Watch this, bro. Here's what's wrong with the church. Have you ever turned the spigot on your hose pipe wide open, going to wash your car? I'll water your lawn. And you got it wide open. The power is wide open. But when you squeeze the nozzle, don't nothing come out. What's wrong? The power is wide open. I tell you what's wrong. There's too many kinks in the line. And the more kinks you get out, that water starts saying, shh. And you get more kinks, shh. And
and the more kinks you get out, and then boy, if you get them kinks out, hit that nozzle, it'll do something then. When Jesus died and got up out of the grave, in Matthew 28:18, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And so the power of God is already turned on, but the church is getting sprinkles instead of getting the power. Why? There's too many kinks in the holes, and everybody want to do it that way, and nobody want to do it God's way. I said, everybody want to do it that way, and nobody wants to do it God's way. We get the kinks out the holes. We see the power in the church of the living God. Am I right about it? In our text, Paul and Silas. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it until we get down to Acts 16:25. I'm going to give you three things and throw the jig breaks on and I'm done. But in Acts 16, Paul and Silas had been on a missionary journey. And while they was on their missionary journey, Paul saw in a vision a man in Macedonia. He said, come over into Macedonia and help us. I'm in Acts chapter 16.
Yes, sir.
Watch this now. The Bible said when that man came for Paul and Silas, he said, help us. The Bible said in verse 10, after he seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuring, given the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Now, he's coming to Macedonia. The Bible said in verse 12, from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city, part of Macedonia, a colony where we were in the city abiding certain day. Yeah. On the seventh, we went out to the city by the riverside where prayer was wrought to be made. And we sat down and spake to the women that besought thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, a city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended the things that were spoken of Paul. Now, when she was baptized, and her household besought us, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there, and she constrained us. Now, get the picture. Paul and Silas is down by the riverbank praying, and they're talking to those women about the word of God. And Lydia got under conviction and turned her heart unto the Lord. And Lydia got hurt and was baptized, believing in God. But watch this now. But verse 16 said, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought a master much gain by soothsaying. Let me tell you the story. And you read it and check me out. Make sure I'm in the book. But Paul then meets this woman. She's a soothsayer. You know what a soothsayer is, don't you? That's a palm reader. And she had a spirit of divination, a spirit of Satan on the inside of her. And she was following Paul and Silas around, said, these men are servants of the Most High God. She had talk on the outside, but she was empty on the inside. There's a whole lot of folks mention the name of Jesus on the outside, but they don't have no Jesus on the inside. As therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. All things have become new. Well, Paul, she followed Paul and Silas for many days. And the Bible said Paul got tired of it and said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And that same hour, that spirit came out, and this woman was gloriously born again.
Amen.
Now, she had people lined up. I had to read their palms every day, but she didn't show up for work that next day. I can see one of the magistrates said, where's she at? I'm losing money by the minute. Somebody said, go down there to the house and check on her. She went down, they went and knocked the door. She said, hey, you're sick, you all right? She said, come to the door with tears running down her face. Said, I used to be, but I ain't sick now. She said, what's wrong? She said, they did a hole, didn't need a physician, but they did a sick. I found out, I've been trying to tell everybody about their future. I met a man called Jesus that told me all about my future. Tell him I ain't coming back.
Hey.
Boy, think about it. There's some places you used to go and stuff you used to do, and people were sitting there waiting on you to come back. And because you met Jesus, you didn't come back no more.
Amen.
Hey, watch this now. They got upset. So who did this to her? They said, them two preachers, that Paul and Silas. Said, where are they at? They said, well, they went and got Paul and them and beat them, beat their feet, beat their hands, put shackles on their hands and their feet and throw them in the jail. For preaching Jesus. But watch this now. At midnight, where we at tonight? At midnight, listen, the darkest part of the night. He said, preacher, I'm telling you, church, it's midnight. Yes, when 64% of all marriages in America are coming to divorce. It's midnight when 75% of black children alone live in single parent homes. It's midnight when prayer and Bible is kicked out of schools, in our government, and out of our places, don't want to hear of the name of Jesus. It's midnight when blacks and whites can't even go to church together and talk about going to heaven together. It's midnight. I'm telling you right now, we want to see God send revival, but the reason we don't understand, it's midnight. You and I, if the world can't understand, you and I need to understand, we're living in the darkest part of the night, and it's midnight. What are we going to do about it? I want to give you three things tonight that Paul and Silas did that turned the midnight into sunshine. I know, I ain't no fool preacher. People are worried to death. They're scared to live and scared to die. Right. Worried. We're worried about what's going to happen in the White House. Can't get no rest and sleep. Somebody may not can, but I'm going to bed. Get me some sleep. Hey, preacher, I'm going to cast my little vote when it's time to vote. But I ain't never dependent on the White House to take care of me. I've always depended on God's house to take care of me. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, hey, Psalm 122 said the Lord don't sleep and he don't slumber. And listen, 121, I'm sorry, don't sleep and he don't slumber. Well, if God's going to be up 24/7, I'm going to bed, get me some rest. Ain't no sense to everybody staying up. Three things real quick and I'll get out of the way. Number one, in the midnight hour, we need to realize that God still answers prayer. God still answers prayer. The Bible said in verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Let me tell you something. The writer of Hebrews put it this way. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse number 15, 16, it says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore not drag in, wander in, but come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. God still answers prayer. These men are locked up. And the midnight hour, they should have been saying, God, this ain't fair. I'm trying to serve you. We're trying to do what's right. Why am I going through this? God said, amen. Instead of them doing that, Paul and Silas got on their knees. I don't know what I ought to pray, but preacher, he did write the book of Romans. He might have got down and said, Lord, Romans 8:28 said, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, and they that are called according to your purpose. And Lord, I don't understand all this, but I know Romans 8:31 said, you be for us. Can't nobody be against us. Amen. I know this, Lord. I'm more than a conqueror to him that loved us. And Lord, I know that Romans 8:32 said, Father, you loved us enough to spare. You didn't spare and love to give your only son. How shall you not freely with him give us all things? I know you said in Ephesians 3:20, that you're able to do exceeding abundantly. Oh, we can even ask the thing. I know this, Lord. And you said, call unto you, and you'd answer us and show us great and mighty things that we know not. I know this, God, you in control. You're on the throne. And no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. Lord, I'm going to trust you right now. And things ain't going to be all right, but everything's already all right. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's good.
Then, when they prayed, the second thing they did, the Bible said, the song of praise. After they prayed, it said they sang a praise. I'm giving this for the sake of time, trying to get out of the man of God's way. But watch this. In Judges 1, preacher, Judges 1 and verse 1 and 2, the children of Israel were getting ready to fight, I think, against the Mennonites and the Canaanites, one of those groups. And they came to God and said, okay, Lord, you lead us in the war. Which tribe should go first? And God said, send Judah. You know what Judah means? Judah means praise. He said, send praise first. Now, you want to confuse the enemy. You're going through a midnight hour, and yet you walk around with a smile on your face, saying, glory to God, hallelujah, bless the Lord at all times. His praise gonna come out of my mouth. And I'm gonna tell you why it's so important that you give God praise. Because Psalms 22 and verse 3 said, he inhabits the praises of his people. The word inhabit means to come and sit down among us. When you start praising God, God will come and sat down in the middle of the crowd. And when somebody big as God shows up, God will show out. God don't gotta show up. So God shows out. I've been in New Life now, preacher. I'm going into my 34th year. We started that church with 15 children and 5 ladies 33 years ago. I sat in a little room and linoleum floor, kerosene heat in the corner, holes knocked in the wall, roof leaking, and then had 2 nickels to rub together. And yet here it is, 33 years later. I'm not bragging or boasting on me, but last year alone, over 1,000 people were saved by the grace of God. And what I'm telling you already this year, we've had over 400 and something people saved already this year. I'm telling you, we watched the hand of God. I told our people this. I said, I don't care what's going on around us. I said, when you come to the house of God, don't come in here and shout and rejoice. Well, I don't care how you feel. I said, you're not doing this for you. You're doing it for God. And that person sitting beside you, you don't know who's coming in here thinking about suicide, thinking about the marriage, but they need God to come. And we come in the house of God and we have spent time alone in prayer. And then we lift our hands to heaven and start praising God. I'm telling God, I can't, but you can. I can't, but you can. And when God shows up, he'll show out. And don't worry about it. Watch this. Preacher, my cousin coming to church. Matt, I'm going to tell you. My cousin came into church over a year ago. And you couldn't tell if she was a boy or a girl. She had, you know how to wear them long shirts and hats, turned around backwards, and how her hair cut off. And she just, you couldn't tell. But our people came to the house of God and we prayed. And we worshiped God and hugged her and loved on, and the people loved on her and hugged on her. I preached the word of God. And down the aisle she came. I heard her crying out in the altar, begging God to help her, begging God to save her. And that youngin', somebody took a Bible, led her to Jesus Christ. And she called me next Sunday. She came to church preaching. I'm talking about when she came that next week. I mean, had a hair all fixed up, had a nice dress on, and it blew everybody's mind. They couldn't believe this is the same girl. Now I look at her in the choir singing. And she up there, tears running down her face. And I think about how that we've been praying. And how that at the church of the living God, I go back to praying again. And go back to rejoicing again. You're telling God to show up. And God will show out. I tell our people just this past Wednesday, Sunday morning. I said, church, I watch people walk down that aisle. Tears running down their faces. Getting saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, church, the same God that was back then and the same God that's right now, we forgot about. We got caught up in what we see around us, still lifting our eyes to the hills. He's still God. He can still answer prayer. Just worship him and praise him anyhow. And when you worship and praise him anyway, You know what's going to happen? Number three, expect God to show up. When they, I don't know what they saw. Nehemiah, I don't know what they saw. They could have saw. While it's still the blood that saves from sin. I don't know. They could have sung. They could have gotten that thing and sung. Glory to God. Help me, Jesus. Yes. They could have sung. I'm saved to the uttermost, and I know that I am. I could have sung that. I could have sung Amazing Grace. Could have sung that. I could have said, for a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy in sin, I sank low. And then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the way. I thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the, I don't know what this song. But they prayed and they sang a praise.
Yes, sir.
Hey, some of you precious saints of God, you know what I'm talking about. There's been times you've been in the house by yourself. There's been times you've been washing dishes. There's been times that you've been in your car and you get to singing some of that old stuff that God spoke to your heart about. And God, something that all of a sudden you hear something get big up in that car. You, God get in the car with you. Tears start running down your face. And you start telling him, ain't nobody like you, Jesus. And God ain't nobody. That's what they done. They know how to get God to come. They said, and then number three, they expected God. Paul said, God gonna come. He gonna be here. And the Bible said, Acts 16, verse 26, after they did it, and suddenly, good God, there was a great earthquake. So the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and every man's band was loose. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing prison doors open, drew out his sword, would have killed himself. Supposing that he had fled, and Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thou send me home. We're all here. Let me tell you this, and I'm done. Put my stuff up. After them fellas had prayed and sung a praise, all of a sudden something hit that jail. Boom, and rocked that thing from side to side. They had a jailhouse rocking. It wasn't even Elvis Presley. God shook the jail. And when he did, all the shackles fell off their arms, off their feet. Boy, you talking about when God show up, people that's been bound all their life, God began to set them free from the alcohol and the dope and the drug and the misery and the pain. God, their yesterdays begin to fall off when God shows up. And God showed up in that prison. And boy, listen, jailer, he was sitting there asleep. And Paul, all of a sudden, it's pitch black. He woke up. It's pitch black dark. Yeah. He said, oh, God, wasn't that? See, back in those days, if that prisoner had got away, you had to kill yourself in the place of that prisoner.
Right.
And he said, he grabbed the knife. And Paul said, hey! Don't you kill yourself. Don't you do yourself no harm. I believe he said, now for you city folks, he said, we're still here. For us country folks, baby said, we're still here. My daughter-in-law is the principal of a school, and I got a lot of educators in the church. And they don't like me to use all that country slang. I said, I don't care what you say. I said, Paul was a country boy. I said, Romans 8:18 said, I reckon. I said, yeah, that ain't no city word. That's country. But come in. Watch this. The jailer was going to kill himself. But he called for light and he sprung in. He said, trembling under conviction. He said, fellas, I've been had y'all locked up in here. I ain't never seen nothing like it.
And I heard y'all talking to somebody I couldn't see. Then singing a song to somebody. And y'all locked up. Y'all been acting all this time like y'all been free. I've been feeling like I was the one locked up. He said, anybody got a God that can take you through what y'all been through and still let you sing a song and still call him his name? How do I get a God like y'all got? Sirs, what must I do to get what y'all got? I want some of what y'all got. Hell, church, that's what the world ought to be crying out about, the church of the living God. Y'all have been praising God, and y'all have been talking to this God. I've been seeing God do miracles in your life. I want to know this God that y'all know. I want some of this God. Oh, what must I do to be saved? And the man got saved, his wife got saved, his children got saved. And it all started in the midnight hour. And church, what I'm telling you tonight, it's midnight. What we gonna do about it? I gave you a recipe for a miracle in the midnight hour. Listen.
Great.
I don't know if some of you like Mountain Dew, but I got a nice. Nehemiah, you like Mountain Dew? Huh? Anybody like a Mountain Dew? Cold Mountain Dew. You like them? You ever tasted before? I'm going to let you have this one. You like to have it? Hey, I wasn't going to do that to you. But I wanted to show you something. As long as that drink is set in steel, and nobody, they're not worried about it exploding or nothing, but if shake it up, then everybody start backing up. And sometime God will let the enemy shake you up. If I take this off here, the preacher would never have me back, because that thing will shoot plumb to that ceiling, all of his pulpit and everything else. But I'll tell you something. Sometimes God allows the enemy to shake you up. He think he's destroying you. God will pop the top and shoot this thing higher than you've ever been before in your entire life. It's midnight. What are you going to do about it? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. We truly need a revival in our church. God, we're in the midnight hour. We need miracles from heaven. Our children have gone astray. Our young people are going the wrong direction. Our nation's in turmoil. Our families are coming apart at the seams. And God, the church of the living God, is backing up instead of going forward. We don't know what to do, but we saw tonight in the Word of God, two men locked up in shackles and chains in the midnight hour. But yet they got on their faces and bleed. God still answers prayer. And these men praised him anyway until God showed up. And when you showed up, you showed out. Speak to hearts now. Before I turn it over to the man of God, how many can say in this room, preacher, still, I may not know a whole lot of things, but one thing I know for sure, if I die tonight, I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? You know that without a doubt. God bless you and put your hand down. How many would say tonight, preacher, don't embarrass me. Don't come where I'm at. Don't put your hands on me. Don't touch me, but pray for me. If I die tonight, Brother Steele, I hope I'm going to heaven. I'm trying to go. The truth of the matter is I cannot say I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I promise you I won't embarrass you. Come where you are, touch you. I just want to pray for you. Not sure you're going to heaven when you die. Slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Is there one like that in the house of God tonight? Father, would you let miracles take place in this house? Yes. I've done what I feel like you told me to do. I trust you now. This place is going to, a fire is started in this place tonight.
Yes.
It's going to burn in Jesus come. In Jesus' blood, we claim the victory. Amen.
237.
One.
Why do you wait? 237.